So Friday, I got to spend the day with my grandson. He's two, and so much fun. And he had his newest contraption is a golf set. He likes any games where you have balls, you know. So my son, his father, loves golf, so he's encouraging him. But I noticed with a two-year-old, you sort of have to let go of the rules. Because they make them up as we go along, right? Just when you think you have it down. Oh, no, that's not how we're doing it now. Okay. And it reminded me of this story. Some time ago that they were building a golf course in India, in Calcutta. And the English had colonized the country, and so they wanted to establish businesses there. And one of the things they wanted to do was to build a golf course. So they had a unique obstacle in that they didn't know that they had monkeys in Calcutta. And so the monkeys would drop out of the trees and scurry across the golf course and pick up the balls. And they would toss them about, right? So at first the golfers tried to control the monkeys. The first attempt was to build a high fence all around the fairways so that they couldn't get in. Yeah, oh yeah. I don't know what university they graduated from. But of course the monkeys just scurried right over them and went, oh hi! Is this how we play in this game, right? So that they abandoned that idea, and the next idea was to try to move the monkeys. So they actually began to trap them and take them away. But every time they took them away, more and more monkeys would reappear. So after several attempts of trying to disbar the monkeys or make them behave, they gave up and they created a new rule. The rule was, play the ball where the monkey drops it. I gotta say, that's a good rule. And good rule for life, yes? As many of us know that we have plans, and isn't that one way to get God to laugh, is to tell him your plans. And I'm a planner. Any other planners in the room? Yeah. Yeah. It's really great. And I used to throw a little tantrum, you know, when my plans didn't go through. And I'm learning to play the ball where the monkey throws it, you know, because I suffer otherwise. Yeah. And I also recognize that if I just adhere to this strict plan of mine, it doesn't leave any room for God's plan, right? And that I'm actually taking away my good if I try to contain something too tight, too controlling. So I've learned to, you know, to create a plan, because you need some structure, you need a place to play, but let the boundaries sort of fall away and let new ideas come trickling in to see what wants to erupt, what wants to be expressed through spirit. Do you play that way? Yes? Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we still are trying to get rid of the monkeys, right? Yeah. Sometimes we're still building those fences, right? Thinking we're going to get rid of the monkeys. Well, one of the things I love to do is to teach truth. And I love to teach transformation. And some of you have taken a few classes with me, and that's pretty much what I teach. Our core values here in this ministry are beautiful. And I've told you a few times, but I'm going to remind you again. They are love, authenticity, transformation, joy, peace, and connection. Isn't this beautiful? Those are so beautiful. So if we were just to be an expression of those ideals, those core values, it would really feel like we are who we have come here to be, right? That if we were expressing in that way, we would be in our Christed self. And sometimes we're not always expressing that way. Have you noticed? I don't want any names, okay? No. That it just sort of does happen to us. And so that's why it's important for me is about transformation, because we want to look at those aspects of self that need healing. And many of us in this circle of teaching, we call it the shadow. So I've talked about that before, and there's a compelling argument to pursue healing that really is the greatest idea ever, because suffering arises if we don't heal. Suffering arises and thrives on this unexamined shadow belief of who we are not. Of who we are not. So they're self-denigrating beliefs that we hold about ourselves that remain in the dark and are the triggering by life events that seem to be against us. So if we don't investigate these beliefs, they remain in a place and most problematic. And we identify with them as our I am. So an example would be something about having a limiting belief, a core belief, that I'm not enough, right? So how that gets triggered is maybe when we're a child and an adult tries to offer us support but uses language that sort of is impatient and disrespectful and unsupportive. So we interpret that information to mean I'm not good enough. It's not the truth, right? But it's an interpretation of a story. So what happens is that we take that information, that experience, and it sort of lives in the body as a memory. And if we don't have tools to sort of examine and shine the light of truth on it, that it just sort of lives there under the current, and we live our life from that belief. Yes? You with me? Yes. Yes. So we call it a belief system, or the BS that lives inside. See, I could get away with so much. It's so fun. But it is BS because it's just simply not true. It's actually a belief that we created about what someone did to us. But that's not their intention or anything like that, but that's what gets taken on. So that's sort of a simple example. But transformation is it's about how we can shift how we view everything that happens in our lives to a higher, more meaningful perspective. That's how you define it as a community. And as we actively seek to transform, these limiting patterns fall away and we're free to create lives of fulfillment and joy. Yes? So that's why we want the transformational experience, is that we want to live joyfully. We want to live fulfilling lives. So transformation is also shown in the butterfly, isn't it? We use that as a metaphor for changing and shifting, because it's such a beautiful example of this caterpillar, lowly caterpillar that just crawls on the ground, that shifts and changes into something that flies and is beautiful. But there's actually a scientific reason. So Elizabeth Saturis is an evolutionary biologist. And here's what she says about the butterfly. A caterpillar crunches its way through its ecosystem, cutting a swath of destruction by eating as much as 100 times its weight in a day. That's a big smorgasbord there. So it eats until it's too bloated to continue, and it hangs itself up, and its skin then hardens into a chrysalis. Inside the chrysalis, deep in the caterpillar's body, a tiny thing biologists called imaginal discs begin to form. Not recognizing these newcomers, the caterpillar's immune system snuffs them as they arise. But they keep coming back faster and faster, and then linking up with each other. Eventually, the caterpillar's immune system fails from the stress, and the discs become imaginal cells. I'm not making it up. This is real. Imaginal cells that build the butterfly by feeding on the soupy meltdown of the caterpillar's body. Ew. Yeah. Ick. So it took a really long time for the biologists to understand the reason for the immune system attack on this incipient butterfly. But eventually they discovered that the butterfly has its own unique genome carried by the caterpillar, inherited from long ago in evolution, yet not part of it as such. So there it is. There's a genome in the caterpillar to become this beautiful, magnificent flying creature. It's the caterpillar's job to resist the butterfly, and the butterfly's job to become stronger because of the opposition in its advance. Isn't that the coolest? Yes. So we can use life's experience that seemed to be difficult as a transforming agent to grow. Yes? Yes. So what we just need to do is let go and just become a soupy mess. Yeah, every now and then that happens with us without any effort at all, right? Just sort of happens. So it's a beautiful idea of transforming into really who we come here to be. And there is this thing called the butterfly effect. It's in chaos theory. The butterfly effect refers to the discovery that in the chaotic system, such as a global weather pattern, there's these tiny perturbations in the system that sometimes lead to major changes in the overall system. It's theoretically possible that a butterfly flapping its wings in Mexico could create tiny changes in the airflow that would eventually lead to a different weather in Europe. In most cases, the flapping wings really would make no difference whatsoever. But just occasionally, very, very occasionally, when the system is in a cusp where it could go either way, like a ball balanced on a little cone, the flapping may be just the difference that causes the future to change and be different. The same principle applies to us. Yes? Yes. Yes. So one person's state of mind can lead to major changes in a society. So we have to do our work. Yes? Yes. We have to do our work. We have to be willing to become a soupy, gooey mess. To learn to let go and to know that God has a plan for us and that we are already encoded, our DNA is already there. Your gifts that you've been given are already there. You don't have to work for them. You don't need to go to this spiritual university to get another gosh darn degree to become your Christ itself. Isn't that good news? Yes. We have plenty of degrees in MSU, right? Make stuff up. That's right. So we are here really for something magnificent to happen through us. And we really need to get on with that business of blossoming into that butterfly. So learning to let go and let God is sort of critical. Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The New Earth, says this, and he's, I think, one of our most modern spiritual teachers to pay attention to right now. He says this, when faced with a critical crisis, when the old way of being in the world, of interacting with each other and with the realm of nature doesn't work anymore, when survival is threatened by seemingly insurmountable problems, an individual life form or a species will either die or become extinct or rise above the limitations of its condition through an evolutionary leap. So we're ready for an evolutionary leap, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, that the transformation is happening whether we like it or not. But you've said yes, otherwise you wouldn't even be in this arena, in these truths, in this way where Spirit is speaking to you. Because see, you're hearing a different message than the other person. You're hearing a different message than the person back there. Every time I give a talk, someone comes up to me and says, oh my gosh, you spoke right to me and you said this. And I said, oh, I don't remember saying that, but but you heard that, right? Because your soul was reaching for that and interpreted my words for your soul's growth. And that's what it's doing all the time, looking for the right experiences, the right people, the right words to transform, to shift your thinking into the one presence and one power, God the good, all the time. Not just when I remember it. So we have an urgency to this transformation. So I guess we better start the buffet. I don't know, eating 100 times my weight almost makes me physically ill. Yeah, and I like food, but not quite that much. Oprah Winfrey is one of my biggest admirers. No, I'm her admirer. How's that go? I admire her. There we go. She's, yes. And so I follow her quite a bit. And she says this, what I know for sure is that healing wounds of the past is one of the biggest and worthwhile challenges in life. It's important to know when and how you were programmed so you can change the program. And doing it so your responsibility and no one else's. And doing it because it's your responsibility and no one else's. So Oprah comes from a very authentic place when she speaks. She had a very difficult childhood. And one of the things she was so ashamed of was she got pregnant at 14 and the baby died. And it was this dark secret for her life. She felt so much shame. And as after an adult, when she became sort of famous, one of her family members leaked that information. And she thought she would die of embarrassment. But Oprah used it. She had a show about shame and about, you know, sexual abuse. And she began to tell the truth. And in that looking at her own shadow, in that looking at her own shame, she healed. As we can all. And someone in the class was talking about this morning, looking at the shadow, it felt so ominous, like, oh, I don't want to look. It feels like it's just going to be this giant monster. But in reality, once you begin to shine the light of truth, it's just this tiny little thing all along. But it just keeps growing unless we shine the light of truth on it, to give it attention, to tell it who it really is. So that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for, is about transformation, about letting go of who I think I'm not, so that I can become all that I am come here to be. And I know that that's true for you, that there are gifts in you that have been given to you by God that may be sitting there dormant, or maybe you know about them, but you are afraid that you're not ready to use them. Anybody have that experience? Yeah, that you sort of know, and it's a secret. I don't want to tell anybody. They'll make me do it. You know, like speaking or singing or dancing or artwork or whatever it is. There's something in us that is afraid to express. But unless we have the courage to express that that lives in us, that without that expression, we will die spiritually. We'll at least be diminished humanly. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to fly. I wore my little butterfly today. Yes, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, that we are here. Mario's ready. Yes, Mario. Yes. Absolutely, he's ready. And that's how really God is waiting for us to say that. Okay, God, I'm ready. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to let go of being a caterpillar. It's been so familiar, right? Of crawling along the ground that I'm not sure how to do that. But the truth is, all we need to do is get still. To get silent, to go into the darkness, the chrysalis. We don't do the work. We just have to go there and invite spirit into our lives to do the work. Yes?
Yes.
And then the rest is God's. So let's pray. Beloved Presence, we give thanks for these teachings. We give thanks for the courage that lives in each and every one of us. And we cultivate that courage by standing in our truth, by speaking who we have come here to be, by finding those people who will see us and hear us and know us by our gifts. Thank you, God, for the privilege it is to be in a body, to be this amazing human, seeking this spiritual outfolding, that there's nothing to be afraid of. We have all that we need. We are coded spiritually in DNA with everything we need to be our unique Christ itself here on earth. And for that we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. God bless you.